Well, good morning. You know, it would be really cool if Sunday mornings when I got up, I got that same response, right? At church, do you give that response to pastors when you go to church? Because that would be great. You know, give them some encouragement. You know, after the song we just sung, and all that is wrapped up into that song, really we could pray and be motivated enough to go on out, right? That was a wonderful song choice for the theme of local outreach as you enter into that for the next few days. So let's just pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for an opportunity to worship you in song. And even the words of those songs, Lord, resonate with our hearts as they motivate us and challenge us, Lord, to serve you, to live for you, for what you've done for us. Lord, to just motivate us, encourage us to live our lives for you unconditionally and sold right out, Lord. And we just pray that you would stir within us today. Lord, may our minds be quickened. May our souls be softened this morning. May our hearts be humbled before you. And may our attitudes this week be filled with grace, love, and compassion as you do that work in our lives. May it just flow out from us to others around us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank you for the privilege it is to be with you this morning and actually for this week. I've titled this week, A Heart of Compassion for the Community. So as we look at local outreach into the community of Cambridge, really that's kind of where I want to target our time. The key thought that kept going over and over in my mind as I was preparing for this for some time is our conduct flows from our character. Our character is really rooted in our calling, and our calling gets established in Christ, right? Right. It's like it's basically our conduct, and it flows from within us, what our character is. And that character really is based on our calling, and where do we find that? We find that in our relationship with Christ. So my name is Todd Trojek. And you can call me Mr. T this week. That's fine. It's a little easier. I do understand nicknames do get pretty popular around here, so you can call me Mr. T. I do count it a privilege and an honor to share alongside you this week, and I want to thank Shannon and the local outreach team for the invitation to be here with you this week. I trust that much prayer has gone into the preparation as you consider the impact that you want or desire to have on Cambridge and the lives that you will hopefully intersect with. Believe it or not, it's 30 years ago. I know that's hard to believe, but I was in your shoes. So 30 years ago at, we'll call it Heritage, London Baptist Bible College, where I entered my first year of Bible college, as you, many of you are in your first year. It's interesting, I will not point out which professors I had who are still here. However, I'm sure they were very, very young when I was at Bible college and seminary. I've been in ministry for 25 years or plus. Spent 20 years in youth ministry, and currently I am the pastor of a church plant in Bell River, Ontario. How many know where Bell River, Ontario is? That's good. Just one. That's two. That's great. I'd even ask how many know where Windsor is, because I know everything stops at London, but basically Windsor, and we're just a little community outside of Windsor, Ontario. We've been there for 5 years. My wife, Mary Gale, is here with me today. And we are, yes, a product of bridal school. We met at Bible college. It's a great thing. And we've been married going on 28 years, so it must happen and work really well, right? We have 3 children. We have a son. We have a daughter and a son-in-law. She's married. We have another daughter. and we have a one-year-old grandson, and so that's really exciting for us. Most of you know our youngest daughter, Trojek, Red, Donna, or as we call her, Michaela. So I'm not sure what name you're going by these days. For the next few days, I would like to really focus our attention on one goal, and that is to ask you to reflect on this. Lord Jesus, what is it that you want to do in me in these next few days? Right? What do you want to do in me? Local outreach, we think, oh, wow, that's great. That's going into the community. But what I want to do this week is challenge you that it begins inside of us before it can flow outside of us. And I know you're thinking, hey, Mr. T, I'm expecting you to come here and pump us up, send us out to love and to care for broken people. You know, we'd rather have seven steps to practical evangelism, which I'm not putting down. You're going to get some of that, and I think that's wonderful. My job, though, however, is to have a different focus in our time together. Don't misunderstand me. I believe that there's a place for those things. And in fact, you're going to have opportunity at your workshops. But God has been chiseling in my own heart over the years with this area that I believe we really need to focus on our hearts. Once God has done his work in you, then your calling and your purpose and your mission, whatever word you want to use, will ignite from within you and will flow from within you the love and compassion, the gentleness, the humility, the patience, and so on that's required for reaching out into your community. Some of you are really excited, I think, about the opportunities to connect with the community and, you know, hand out stuff or give water or food or just connect with people. And others, you would be like me, and it would scare you to the death. And so this is a fearful time. Whether you're excited or fearful, I think that both of us can really benefit from understanding that a heart of compassion is really what we are looking for in our inner core. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. And really what I would desire to do, because you have some wonderful professors, you have some wonderful teaching, I am just so proud that you actually are here committing your time to learning and growing. So definitely you will not be getting from me a real deep exposition of the text, but would you just for a moment reflect on what the word says in a devotional type manner? Just reflect on what is Paul saying? What is God using Paul to say to your hearts this morning? Since then you have been raised with Christ, verse 1 of chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It goes through some rules for household, but chapter 4, verse 2, this is where we're going to land. I just wanted the context. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As we consider this theme, the heart of compassion, are you instructed to, as you read through the Bible in your first year, highlight, circle, make references to as you travel through? You had to make word connections and things like that in your studies? This is an interesting parallel, because if you take chapter 3 and then connect it to chapter 4, verse 2, the parallels are interesting as how Paul connects those thoughts. And I'm fascinated because it speaks of our conduct as followers of Christ. And here Paul's writing, and I love the book of Colossians because it's almost as if he's writing to us, right? Some of us who he's never met, like the church at Colossae, right? He's writing to them and he's going, hey, you know what? I've heard about you, and this is what I want to encourage you in. And so I love this book because it's almost like Paul's encouragement letter to us as well. And as we look at chapter 4, verse 2, there's some things that come out of here that really are helpful in our conduct. Number one, I find he says in verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. So I'm to be wise in my conduct. It actually says, in wisdom, conduct yourselves. I'm to conduct myself in wisdom. It's sort of like walking, in a sense. And I'm not much of the PowerPoint guy, but I'm just going to throw slides up there for you to kind of identify with. Have you ever watched people walk? If you go to the mall and watch people walk, it's an interesting exercise because people have different ways of walking. Right? The different styles of walking. And young people today, if they pull their pants up, they could walk pretty good too. But when you see people walk, it's a challenge, right? Because you walk and you go, whoa, everyone has kind of this different style of walking. And that's interesting. That's what Paul's talking about. We want to watch the way that we walk. Continually walk. This is to be our habit as a result of our new life in Christ, that we now have a new walk. And so we have to consider that, even in the sense of outreach, what is my walk like? How am I walking? Did you know that walk, according to Ray Steadman, I thought he outlined it well, is a pattern of two simple steps repeated over and over again. It's a simple pattern, right? Just putting one step in front of the other as I walk. And that's what Paul is alluding to here in Colossians, is that my walk needs to be wise. I need to take in consideration how I am walking before others, right? Paul actually gives us these steps, and there's your connection point in chapter 3. What are the two steps of putting one foot before the other? I am to put off and put on. And that's my daily step. How's our walk? Am I putting on and taking off? As Paul has said, these are the things I need to do. Putting on and putting off, these steps, they actually involve action and they involve repetition. We need to constantly do this. There's times where repentance and falling before the Lord and confession for a specific thing is needed and desperately needed. But it also is a daily habit we need to get into of the putting off and the putting on in our lives. In wisdom, conduct yourselves towards, it's kind of in the direction of, and where's the direction we're to be wise in our walk towards? Outsiders, those who need Christ, the community. The direction in which we are walking is the community because they are watching your walk. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. I just need a volunteer, if that's okay. Do you interact a bit? Right here? Okay, come on up.
Yeah, John.
So give me 1 second here. Okay. You're in Bible college.
Yeah.
You could use money. Too bad this wasn't. But it is pretend. And so just bear with me for a moment, but just imagine that I'm going to give you $1,440. Okay, we'll pretend that that's $1,440. It says it's a million, but it's $1,440. And sorry, what's your name?
John.
John, there's a few conditions. John, you need to spend that money. You have to, okay? You cannot reserve any, and then tomorrow I'm going to give you the same amount. And the next day. And you are free to spend that how you would like. Okay? But you have to spend it, okay, because you can't hold on to it. And you will receive that again and again and again. Now you would want to think, how would I want to spend this money? Because there's a few options, right? I'm sure there's things you need that you could benefit from. I'm sure there's things you want that you could benefit from. But there also are ways in which you could use that to benefit others or to use for the Lord. You, my friend, have to make that decision on how you're going to spend that. Now, you can hand those out. Those are actually just a tract. It's local outreach week, so there you go. What's interesting is this. $1,440 minutes in a day. We are entrusted with time. What do we do with our time? And this, in a sense, kind of what Paul is saying, make the most of every opportunity. How are you going to invest your time that is given to you? Because guess what? Once you spend it, it's gone for that day. Make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time, is what it's saying. Buy up time and opportunities. Buy up those opportunities. Look for them. I do believe God provides them. Many times I'm not aware, or I'm not seeking to be aware of what those are. And so that's the challenge. Make every opportunity, make good of those opportunities, seek those opportunities as you go. And the last point, as time is going, is this. Paul tells us, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We need, people have said, right? Make sure your talk is your walk. Well, make sure your walk is your talk. Talk is your walk. That's the same connection here as what Paul is making. our opportunities can be actually life-transforming opportunities for us for conversation. So you may be going somewhere in the next few days to do something, but please make sure you're taking the opportunity to say, God, how do you want to use what I need to say? Can I be an encouragement to somebody? Salt. Can I bring flavor to their lives? Can I encourage them? Can my conversation be helpful, pure, lead them maybe to a conversation about Christ? Because ultimately, as we've even sung in that song, that is the desire that God has for us. In your local outreach, we're not just providing a meal for somebody. We're providing an opportunity to hopefully share Christ, because he's our hope of eternity. And you're making the most of every opportunity can change the eternal direction of somebody's life. And that's what I want to encourage you with. And we're going to talk a little bit about this in the next few days as well. God, I just thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us. And thank you for helping encourage and instruct us just to be mindful, be wise, to be thinking. Lord, our walk is observed. Our talk needs to be helpful and encouraging, pure, holy, and point to Christ. And I think what Paul is really trying to tell us is from the inside out, we live. And so, Lord, may you just do what you need to do in our hearts and in our lives to transform us, to change us, to ignite us with this passion and compassion for the lost and our community here in Cambridge. In Jesus' name, amen.